This is Michael Dooley, broadcasting live worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. Yep, so we are doing a very special show today. Our regularly scheduled host had, well, this is, I don't want to sound so happy. Jack Johnson had a death in the family. One of his grandparents died, and he was supposed to be on tonight, but fortunately, the Fiends are a gang, and people can step up. And we got Nikki Darling. Where are you calling from? Where are you, Nikki? And what?
In my white picket fenced bunker on the Mortar on the Potomac. Ooh, that's
wow. Near Washington D.C. basically.
Unfortunately,
I'm sorry. And where is our other host?
Hello, this is Mark from the People's Republic of Kanuckistan in my mobile multi-wheeled studio. Bunker.
You're a trucker, right?
That is correct.
Are you an ice road trucker?
No, I've not been anywhere near that.
But you are on some icy roads occasionally, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Especially this last winter. It was ugly.
Yeah, you know, I like the sound you get in your modern, nice, insulated cab. It's very, there's like no background noise. It's like you're in a nice hotel room or recording studio. And that's a tip I often have for people. If you ever have to like record, let's say an interview with somebody and, you know, there's a rock and roll concert going on and you don't have anywhere quiet to go, take them in a car. Modern cars are pretty well soundproofed and sound conditioned. So speaking of sound, I want to play something that I think Nikki's going to get a good laugh out of. This is this is a new ad that is starting to run on the podcast of this radio show tonight and on the radio of this show tomorrow or the next day. So Davi and I told Davi that his Shiny Badges ad just made me insane and made my wife insane, and just we didn't want to change the channel when we hear it. So here is the new Davi Barker Shiny Badges ad.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Nice.
Yep.
Yep. I like it.
Let's hear it once more. Just once more. Here we go. All right.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Shiny badges on your jacket.
Okay, that's you there, guys?
Davi Barker from shinybadges.com.
I think we've lost them.
Personally apologize.
Are you there? You're there? All right, good. Because I was gonna play that on an infinite loop till you got back. Do we have Nikki back?
Yes. Sorry, was that me?
That was the internet. See, I think Cass Sunstein has on his chromed robot turd, you know, his i turd or whatever they are, iPhone, BlackBerry, whatever. Cass Sunstein, the czar of information and keeping the slaves in the dark, whatever his title is. I think he has an app on his chromed robot turd that's like, it's one button and it's like, you know, mess with liberty people. And it's got a drop down menu. It's got the Fiends. It's got Free Talk Live. I don't think it has Stefan Molyneux, though, because I've never heard him have any technical problems. But he's Canadian, and he's really polite, so they're not going to mess with him.
Yeah, I better look outside for, like, you know, goggles in the bushes, you know, night goggles.
Well, you know, here's a tip not a lot of people know. You can spot infrared scopes and night vision goggles by looking through the viewfinder of a cheap video camera, because cheap video cameras usually have an infrared mode, and you usually don't even have to put them into infrared mode. And a way to check is just, you know, if you have any infrared light source, like a night camera or something, a security camera, look at it through a modern cheap video camera viewfinder, and you will be able, you know, on the little flat screen color thing, and you should be able to see it. Try it out.
Huh. Okay.
Yep. So, interesting. Mark, what's Canada like? Is it real tyrannical or real polite or real politely tyrannical or what? Mark?
I guess you could call it tyranny light.
What does that mean?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yep. What does that mean?
It's definitely there. As I think I've posted on the sites before, the Iron Fist is there, but they're a little better with the velvet glove, like the going the gun in the room thing. Normally, they like to keep that around step 20 or so here, whereas a lot of parts of America, it's going to be about step 2, although there are some very notable exceptions.
Yeah. Give me some examples.
Oh, geez, in the early 90s, I lived right in downtown Toronto, our biggest city, and I learned very quickly that the police are not your friends, and you best keep a wide berth of them.
Like how?
Riding my motorcycle one night, and then some idiot tow truck almost ran me over as the cop car was watching. And how much help did you think I get? I went over and tried to talk to him about it, and the guy just glared at me and said, "Get lost, kid."
In America, they'd arrest you and beat you up.
Well, I guess that's sort of my point. Instead of being arrested, beaten up very quickly,
we're
given at least one shot to just go away. And I, as young and stupid as I was,
we're losing you there, Mark. We're going to put you on. We're going to have you hold for a few minutes. Are you still there, Nikki?
Yes, I am.
Yep. All right. So, Nikki, what are some of the topics you want to talk about tonight?
Well, I did just watch two really cool documentaries about the war on drugs, and I thought actually the second one I watched was even better. What was the title of it again? How to Sell Drugs and Make Money.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for that. Did you watch the whole documentary?
I did, and it was great. Like it's set up like they have little video game intros, like, oh, you are a kingpin now, and like you know, talking to people, notable people within the drug industry, and then towards the middle it gets into sort of like the politics and how things have been funded by the government, like with the Contras and Freeway Rick Ross and stuff like that, and then it goes into like prohibition, and it was really interesting. One of the notable quotes I really liked was Woody Harrelson said, "If freedom is about living your life how you wish as long as you don't hurt anyone, well, this is not a free country."
Yeah.
So
is the title of that documentary, what's the title again?
It is How to Make Money Selling Drugs.
Now, is that a attention getting title? It's not really an instructional manual, right?
No, it's not. I mean, I guess in a way it could be, but it's everything you would already know common sense wise. And then they go into like, but this is what will happen. And then you'll end up in jail like this guy. And so you definitely don't want to use this movie to sell drugs. No.
Yeah. It's a creative title that'll make people, make square people gasp and make people who aren't square go yeah, and really it's not necessarily either. Kind of like, I have a documentary called DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and a lot of people love that movie. A lot of artists love that movie. It's more why to survive as an independent artist than how, and about 95% of the artists who see it really like it, and about 5% of the people who see it hate it and give it really negative reviews and say it's the title is misleading, because they're basically looking for like art for dummies, you know. It doesn't say like step 1, step 2, step 3, because, you know, I'm kind of a psychedelic minded kind of guy, even though I don't do psychedelics. I skip around a lot, but it always comes around to the same place. So to me, seeing a movie like that would tell me more about how to survive, because you're listening to people talk about their process, talk about how they deal with being poor, how they deal with economics, how they stretch money, how they stretch resources. Yeah. And you know, but it doesn't have step 1, step 2, step 3. So yeah, I'm no stranger to the power of the interesting title. That's not necessarily, it's not specious, it's not a lie, but it's not what people are necessarily expecting, and it gets their attention.
Yeah, exactly. So yep. I enjoyed it, and if you'd like to watch it, you can find it on a great app. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Popcorn Time, but just Google it and check it out.
That's an app for watching movies on the chromed robot turd?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Is it free, and is it free to watch them?
It's a torrent-based app, which can never be gotten rid of.
That doesn't sound like something I'd recommend to people, something you can't uninstall.
No, no, no. As in, it can't be taken down. That's what I should have said. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Huh. Oh, you mean like you have to get this on the torrents?
Yeah, well, it streams on your computer, but everything is based on the torrents feeds. I don't know how to describe it, but one of their mottos is we can't be taken down, sort of like, ha ha ha, come after us.
That's I don't think I'd use I don't think I'd use a motto like that because it sounds like a challenge, and people that are either governments that want to control and destroy everything or people that are hackers or crackers that like a good challenge, you know, they want a challenge like that. It's like, you know, if you sold a safe and said it was uncrackable, the first thing that would happen would be people who have, you know, lock picking competitions would try to get into it.
Yeah, well, it was taken down within the first 3 months, but it was because their server company ditched them.
Oh, that's so mean.
So they got a new server company. Now they're back up and running. But I believe with torrents, you're dealing with such minuscule, tiny fragments of files that it's really hard to go in there and take down a whole torrent.
Oh, yeah. I've heard something like, you know, the whole Pirate Bay would fit on like one data CD, not even DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yep. Although the files that it's connecting to are not tiny. But Mark, are you back?
I'm here.
Cool. We'll have more about everything under the sun when we get back from this trip to the free market.
Worms.
Worms. Ow.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep or sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5
for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends laughing while Western civilization collapses. We are laughing while Western civilization collapses. That's the tagline of the Freedom Fiends blog. And I saw a documentary tonight. Nikki and I love documentaries by this magazine called Vice. Do you like Vice? You do, right?
Love Vice.
Yeah, they make, they started as a magazine that was kind of hipster, edgy, New York. You know, it used to be like pretty much what they did was took pictures of cute young people looking really stupid at parties. And then it kind of evolved into like the hipster National Geographic, but better. And they've become this documentary filmmaking company, and they put out all their documentaries free on YouTube. And they're amazing. They're pretty low budget, but they're really well done. And they do things like sneak into North Korea, you know, they do things or like go to the Khyber Pass and buy weapons from the Taliban just to see if it can be done. And, you know, buy things on Silk Road that are illegal. And they did a documentary on this drug called Crocodil. You saw one, right? Which is a Russian sort of bathtub heroin made with, I guess you can buy like codeine over the counter there. And it's made with like, you know, crushed up codeine pills and like battery acid and gasoline or something. And they don't really cook the gasoline off of it. And they sell it for like $1 a dose. And it's, you know, it's this drug that makes, you know, heroin and crack look like chewing gum. It's so dangerous. It literally, like, it's called crocodile because it makes your skin dry up and fall off, and it looks like a crocodile. And then I saw this. I knew about that one, and we've been not amused, but like shocked and awed by the existence of that one for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And then I found out about this one called Sisa, which is a Greek drug, which is kind of the methamphetamine equivalent of that. It's like, you know, it's like methamphetamine cooked in a bathtub with like battery acid and gasoline, and they don't cook off the battery acid or gasoline, and people shoot it and smoke it. And they, ew, you know, it, like this one addict in there said, you know, heroin addicts can shoot heroin for 30 years. Sisa will kill you in 6 months. And here's what this, why we bring this up, because of the economic functions of this. This is, you know, Greece was the first democracy. They invented democracy, and they are proof that democracies, there's a saying about democracies that went around in like a dad spam email. It was misattributed to somebody else, but it was a really solid quote. It said something like, well, the first part I didn't agree with, it was democracies are the best form of government, which I guess getting punched, you know, if you're going to have government, I guess getting punched in the stomach is better than having your head cut off. But, you know, it said democracy is the best form of government, but all democracies historically have failed in between 200 and 300 years of their founding, because that's by then everybody realizes they can vote the government to steal the money, and then nobody's working and things collapse. And that is pretty much what's happening with Greece, although they've had democracy. Well, the original Greece was a different nation pretty much in a lot of ways than what is now. But pretty much, you know, Greece has like 25% unemployment, and, you know, their debt is like 150% of, you know, the GDP. It's like the U.S. is, it's like America's problems, you know, times five. Or they're further down the road of misery, I guess. And one of the outcomes of that is that, you know, people that want to do drugs, you know, can't afford $20 for some heroin or $10 for some speed. So the free market, the evil end of the free market, came up with this drug that's entirely toxic that costs like €1 per dose, like $1.50. And it's just devastating and horrible. And that's what happens when you have things are outlawed and democracy taken to the nth degree to where everything's collapsing and nobody's working.
Yeah, there are people in like Appalachia making meth in Gatorade bottles and blowing themselves up. That's how bad it's getting.
Yeah, this stuff is worse though, from what this documentary says. I mean, they talk to like, you know, users and people like, you know, the government guy whose job is to help keep the addicts healthy, you know, like the rehab facility guy who didn't really seem to have any agenda. You know, he wasn't like, well, maybe he had the agenda of trying to get more funding, but all their funding was being cut off anyway. But he basically said that, you know, this Sisa, S-I-S-A drug is way more devastating than coke or heroin or speed, you know. So
that's wonder what's going to be next.
I don't know, just like injecting battery acid in your eyeball perhaps.
Yeah. Ew.
We'll be back with more to talk about Vice documentaries and the movie Cocaine Cowboys on this very special episode of The Freedom Fiends, where the topic is the stupidity of the drug war.
Meow.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Now.
scene, and I can't sing as loud as I'd like because my wife's asleep. So,
yeah.
You know, I really like being 7 days a week. Sometimes it has its challenges. Oh, by the way, Mark Schisler was taken away by Royal Mounted Police for speaking out against the general order of the polite. It wasn't for speaking about against the government. It's for being unpolite as a Canadian. And we have our rescue teams in place. We're hoping to get him back. But I don't know if it's going to be this segment or the next or tonight, but we will give you breaking news on that. So back to something that's true. Let's leave that alone and go to something that's true. I love being 7 nights a week because I used to hate that Free Talk Live got to scoop everything. Like, you know, something would happen and I'd want to talk about it and I'd be like, well, it's 5 days till our next show and Free Talk Live would be talking about it. So I love Free Talk Live, but we get to scoop them sometimes now for things that happen after their show. This was from the O'Reilly Factor, which I think airs when Free Talk Live are over. So I don't think they covered it this day.
No, no. Well, at 8 o'clock, so during their show.
Okay. Did they cover this? I listened to part of the show today. I didn't hear this.
I don't think so, but who of us sits around and listens or watches the Fox Network?
The Foxes, yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're going to play is, this is a clip of Bill O'Reilly tonight talking about our friend Ademo Freeman, who I've talked to a lot. He's talked to him a lot in the past. He's a big fan of the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which I directed. And I got to meet him and give him some Fiends buttons and shake his hand and say, what up, at Porkfest. So let's play this 2 minute and 48 second clip. I'm assuming it's radio friendly. It's
yes,
on Fox.
It is.
Well, you know, Bill O'Reilly has a history of swearing on TV, but it's been a long time. So we'll do it live. Yeah. Go ahead.
Actually, Megyn Kelly talks about him. Okay. She comes on to talk about, they're talking about Cop Block out of Arlington, Texas.
Okay. So. I think we get a lot of hits on the Fiend site from Arlington, Texas. I just noticed that because I used to live in Arlington, Virginia, so I see something with that name. And maybe it's the Cop Block people from Arlington, Texas. So I'm just trying to connect myself with the people who are even cooler today than they were yesterday because Fox hates them. I'm assuming Fox hates them. They might love them.
Of course they do. Yeah.
This might be Bill O'Reilly saying, check out Cop Block and send them some money. They're great people, but I doubt it. So here we go.
Nope.
Number one cable news show for 14 years running.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Bill O'Reilly in the Kelly File segment tonight, spying on the police. In Arlington, Texas, a group called Cop Block, following police officers around, taping their interactions with the public. This is not illegal in Texas, but it is controversial.
Citizens patrolling for police officers who are patrolling the streets.
We go out and we try and film police activity and attempt to hold them accountable for their actions.
Joseph Ty and this man, who would only identify himself as Jose, are part of a network here in the Metroplex called Cop Block. They say they're providing a public service to help ensure that officers don't overstep their bounds.
We don't hate the police, quote unquote. We just want them to abide by the laws.
The officers are actually being followed. And a lot of times the officers, they don't have any idea who's following them. But it can certainly raise suspicion. You know, we want our officers to be safe.
Who's now the anchor of the Kelly File scene immediately after the fact of Miss Megan? You know, there's enough stress on police before these clowns chasing them around. Mm-hmm. You know, because it distracts them.
You're riding down the road trying to do your job. Suddenly it's like, Paul Bunyan is after me.
Yeah, there's somebody with a camera in your face, you know? Right, the guy with the beard, and he looks like a biker. Being a police officer, it requires a lot of patience. And I don't think people understand that. You've got to deal with idiots like all day.
All day long. Right. That feeling, although they gave a statement to us saying, we don't hate the cops. You know, they're called Cop Block. And they say they're about accountability and a public service. And that they, you know, if they catch a cop speeding or whatever, they want to, you know, hold him to account the same way that they hold us to account. The problem is no one has hired them or really wants them to provide that service.
Yeah, nobody's asking
it's
for
like,
it.
The same other thing the is, there's a question about how they feel about the police and where this could wind up. If you go to their website, it's all anti-cop. And they have one video posted called When You Should Shoot a Police Officer. So it doesn't sound like they really
love
the cops.
When you should shoot it.
One of the co-founders is named, hold on a second, I have it here. Ademo Freeman. He He says he is a two-time victim of the war on drugs.
Yeah. That means he got caught selling.
I've never heard a phrase quite that way.
I have to ask you real quick. In some municipalities, there are laws against this kind of stuff, right?
In all 50 states, this is legal.
Is that right?
It's the exception, not the rule, for this to be illegal. You're allowed to film the police as long as they're in a public place.
But if you interfere with them.
That's the key. Interfering with them performing their duties takes it to a different level. So if they can show you're really harassing them, or you're getting in between them and a suspect and so on, then you're
then in trouble.
But if they're just filming you, forget about it. It's fine.
Boston is a first conviction of the
Terrorism
Act. What happened? Go.
Yeah, that is so square, man. That's all I got to say. Bill O'Reilly and Megyn Kelly are so square.
So square. I used to kind of like her a little bit before this.
Why?
Because she's very spunky and she will call people out.
Yeah. What did Lou call those people? The news bunnies? Yeah. Man.
But I love that, how they think it's a service that nobody wants. Like, did you survey everybody?
And isn't that what the police are? A service that a lot of people don't want and have to pay for anyway and have to be subject to. It's kind of weird when our world clashes with their world. Our world being the underground freedom lovers and their world being the really square mainstream media that is basically, you know, the voice and the apologists for the police state, for the, I don't want to say New World Order. That sounds too lizard people-y, but you know, for the people that want to have power and don't want to work for a living and want to steal from you and put you in a cage if you do anything that displeases them.
Yeah, they totally are. I don't like watching them. I don't like being called a conservative, because most people in my life, there's either liberals or conservatives. And when I talk about freedom, they're like, oh, you're a conservative.
Oh, well, this guy, I mean, Bill O'Reilly says, you know, you can't criticize the office of the president, even if it's Obama. You have to respect the office. And here's my, you know, Bill O'Reilly probably say I'm conspiratorial to say this, but it's absolutely true. Bill O'Reilly is basically asking for a secret police state with unchecked power, because he's basically saying it's a bad thing that people are following the police around with cameras. So he's basically saying, you know, they should be unaccountable, or they should be able to account for themselves and investigate themselves and film themselves when they want to.
Only. Yeah, that works, doesn't it? Yeah, the internal affairs, they really work out well.
I've heard that described as sending the rats to guard the cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it really reminds me of that show, The Wire, too, which I recommend everybody check out.
Yeah, you know that I'm a junkie for I like police shows, even though I hate police. Basically, I hate I hate most of what they do. And if there are good cops out there, they should be arresting the bad cops to prove they're good cops. But I have a soft spot for police shows, and it's only because I really like good drama and good action and good writing and good directing. And these days, unfortunately, it seems like that all ends up in the cop shows. And I love The Shield. I love Law and Order. I love Southland, which is heavily influenced by The Shield, you know, in that it's kind of documentary style, gritty, handheld camera, you know, like chasing the police. It's, you know, like running through backyards with handheld cameras. And I really like that kind of show, man, but it takes a lot of suspension of statism. But my favorite thing, one of my favorite things in life, other than talking on the radio, and we now have three stations. I want to welcome a couple stations. I'm going to welcome them again in the second hour, too. Of course, we're on the station in Cairo. We've always been on the station in Cairo. We're on 25 stations or 24 stations on the weekend. And during the weeknights, we've been on weeknights for about 4 months now, and we only had one station, and it was in WKRO 1490 AM in Cairo, Illinois, and Cairo, Illinois also goes into Paducah, Kentucky, that station. But now we are on two more stations. We're on KYDT in my state, Wyoming, in Sundance, Wyoming. And we're also on, let me find it here, KBFS AM in Rapid City, South Dakota. And I'm going to welcome them in the second hour because they play us five nights a week, but they play us delayed and they only play 1 hour of each 2 hour night. They play us between 4 and 5 a.m., which is kind of awesome because that's when our kind of people are awake or people are going to work. I mean, that could be drive time, you know, in a rural community. So yeah, we're on three stations now. It's pretty cool. So my favorite thing in the world, other than being married to my wonderful wife, having my wonderful friends, having my cats, having my guns, I don't even look at the guns. I just have a bunch of guns. I don't even think of myself as a gun guy. I mean, do you think of yourself as a cell phone woman? You carry a cell phone everywhere, right?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't think of myself as a gun guy, but I carry a gun everywhere I go. I don't, you know. Do I think of myself as a house keys man? I carry house keys when I leave the house and a gun. So,
yeah, but it's natural.
One of my other favorite things is finding sequential media that can be legally watched on the Netflix where there's already like, you know, many seasons of it. So if I find something I really like, I binge. Like I spend, you know, every free moment watching the show until it's all gone. And then I start watching it over. And you know, you and I do that. You did that with Bones, yep. Or not Bones, House, right?
Yeah, House. I haven't finished yet.
Yeah, House is great. I found a really cool one this weekend. There's a comedian named Jim Jeffries, who's an Australian chap who's kind of dark, and he's got a couple of stand-up things from, you know, Comedy Central on the Netflix that are really good. But he also had two seasons and it was canceled comedy show that's called, gosh, what's it called? And it's kind of interesting because he actually has a bunch of actors in it. It's called Legit is the name of the show. It's with Jim Jeffries. And it actually has a bunch of actors in it who have disabilities. And it has a main character who has MS and is in a wheelchair, although he's played by DJ Qualls, who does not have MS. But they couldn't, they wanted to have someone with MS play the main character, but you know, someone with that illness couldn't stand 12-hour work days every day. So,
yeah.
But they do have a bunch of guys who are learning disabled in it, and they're great. And it's like, you know, it's not like, oh, heartwarming. It's like, you know, they go to cat houses and stuff and get high. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, nice.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean. Strange things are happening because my atomic clock says we're not back yet, but apparently we are.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really weird. We should be back at 52, and my atomic clock says 51:35 now. So that's very bizarre. I don't know what's up. Maybe Maybe the satellites are all broken. I don't know. Maybe maybe the government went on strike again and the free market's going to have to figure out a way to do this. But, you know, I did a show live to a show clock on Ian Freeman's Liberty Radio Network for about a year before we got on Radio, and I did not own an atomic clock. I just did it by how the music came up. So we got Mark Schisler back. Mark, are you there?
I am here.
Cool. So did you get searched and prodded by the Royal Canadian Mounties for speaking unpolitely as a Canadian?
Well, yes, but they were oh so polite about it.
So Nikki wanted to talk about a documentary called Cocaine Cowboys. Tell me a little bit about this documentary, Nikki.
It's a documentary about how drugs hit Miami in the late 70s, early 80s, and it became like the number one place in our country for importing drugs from South America, and how first it was, there were a lot of drugs, but there wasn't a lot of crime, and then all of a sudden Castro sent over boatloads of people. It was some sort of deal he had with Jimmy Carter, and he totally trolled the United States and actually sent over boatloads of prisoners.
Yeah.
And so then there are all these, you know, serious criminals on the street, and then all this crime started breaking out, and Miami had, like, they were the murder capital of the United States, and there were all these drug cartels like vying for positions in the cocaine market in Miami. And I believe that's how the Stand Your Ground law came into existence, because the police department was so underfunded, and people were just taking justice into their own hands, and they didn't have any tanks at that time, and the police didn't have, you know, semi-automatic weapons. They just had revolvers, and they were completely outgunned and outnumbered. And the documentary is about that, and people flying to and from Colombia. Really interesting documentary.
Have you ever seen Scarface, the movie?
I have, a long time ago. I don't remember all the details of it.
Well, it basically, you know, it's a drama that takes place during that period, and it literally begins with the main character, Tony Montana, getting off one of those boats that Castro sent over full of criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to watch that again. I don't know. A lot of people wear Scarface t-shirts now, like it's a gang thing.
Yeah, I guess he's a role model, a businessman role model to a lot of confused people, because I don't think he's a good role model, because mm-mm. He kills a lot of his best friends, and he ends up murdered in a hail of bullets at the end. And, you know, generally in a movie like that, I mean, there's kind of an anti-hero's journey of, like, you know, they start out poor, and then they start stacking a bunch of money and getting a bunch of women and getting a bunch of cars, and things are good for a while. And then things get progressively worse until you're, you know, at the end of this movie, he's snorting cocaine off of a Bowie knife, you know, a pile of cocaine that's like as tall as a midget on his table, and paranoid of all his friends, and really freaked out, and beats up his sister. And then, you know, he gets murdered by a hail of about 1,000 bullets. So there's really, he's not very happy in most of that movie. He's not happy at the beginning of it, and then he starts getting into the drug trade, and he's happy for about 15 minutes of the movie, and the rest of it is just him spiraling out of control. So I don't think he's a very good role model. But
yeah, the big leader down there was Graziella Blanco, and she was called the Godmother, and she was like a Colombian, you know, head of a cartel or whatever. And throughout this documentary, I saw scenes that were reminiscent of many different movies and TV shows, like Breaking Bad, Dexter, like things that were real that now are portrayed in TV shows.
Well, Southland had a female drug lord in it in one a few episodes. Do you remember that?
I'm trying to remember that.
Yeah, I think it was based on that woman. It was a lady who was like running all the drugs in L.A. and her sons. Yeah. Yeah,
she did move to L.A. at one point. So yeah.
Yep. Have you seen this movie, Mark? Have you seen either of these movies?
I saw Scarface years ago. I don't really remember it though. I think I'll download it and watch it again, which isn't helping us right now.
Yeah. Yep. And I guess you had some questions, Nikki, about how things would be different absent the police, right?
Yeah, because I feel like what happened in South Florida and Miami, like there already wasn't much of a police response, and people just were killing people for fun. It just like it got to a point where people could murder anybody and they just had no qualms about it at all. And I feel like in libertarian paradise, this would continue.
We'll talk about that when we get back in the second hour. It's a good question because that question, me asking that question and some people answering that on a forum, was an important part of my direct descent into liberty, or ascent into liberty, however you want to look at it. Whether it depends whether you're Bill O'Reilly or one of us. We'll be back with more in hour two of the Freedom Fiends. Meow.
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 Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow.
Meow.
This is the Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And I'll just go ahead and say it. We're in Wyoming. And I want to say that because we're welcoming a station in Wyoming, KYDT, in Sundance, Wyoming, with 25,000 tyranny-busting watts. And their sister station, KBFS, in Rapid City, South Dakota. So we're covering a good chunk of land up there. The motorcycle rally. Let's see, what else is up there? Most of the Free State Project, Free State Wyoming Project.
Mountains.
The black somewhere in the Black Hills of Dakota. Yeah, like in that Beatles song, Black Hills of Dakota. And yeah. Mount Rushmore. So if you're ever at Mount Rushmore, you'll be able to listen to the Freedom Fiends between 4 and 5 a.m. in the morning. We're on there on the weekends, too, on Sunday nights. But they play the second hour of the show, Monday through Friday, delayed between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. That's pretty darn awesome, I think, because that is our target audience of the insomniacs, the swing shift workers, the underemployed, the unemployed, the worried people with a hamster going around and around in their brain. And that's probably like drive time in that area, too, from what I know of the Sundance area. It's probably people getting up and going to work on oil rigs and at cow farms and sheep farms and all sorts of good, honest American work, as opposed to the people on the West Coasts and the East Coasts who sit around and steal by taxation of their fellow man. And Nikki, darling, you're in the near the belly of the beast. You're more like, you're near the elbow. You're like by the elbow of the beast, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm the suburbs, but I'm still directly affected by it every minute of the day.
Near Washington, D.C. I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's unfortunate. I was born and raised here. I actually lived in the city for quite a long time, but I kind of lived in the hood, so it was different.
You lived in D.C.?
Yeah, for like 10 years. Yeah.
I lived in D.C. Have we talked about this before?
Yeah. I used to live down. I actually lived two blocks from the White House in college, and then I kind of moved over by Howard University, and I really liked it over there because people were way cooler over there, except for the guy who put a gun to my dog. Ugh. But that was, you know, isolated incident.
Yeah, I lived in the hood. I lived at 15th and Belmont Northwest across the street from Malcolm X Park. And, you know.
Okay. I lived on the other side of it. Yeah.
You lived in Adams Morgan?
No, I was on 11th. I was right by Cardoza High School.
You know, this probably doesn't mean much to people in rural Wyoming. So let's just say we lived in D.C. and now we don't, and we're really happy about it. And we have another person living in some politely occupied nation of Canada. We have Mark Schisler. Are you there, Mark?
I am here.
And you don't sit around and collect no dole. What do you do for a living?
Well, I get off my backside and actually do something productive. I drive a truck, actually.
Cool.
Thank you for your service, Mark Edge would say.
Yes. Well, I made that up.
I'm the
guy who made up. It was either myself or Nima who started saying thank you for your service to people who were not in the military, who just actually do something that is a service. And is Mark doing that now? I've never heard him do it.
Yeah, he always says that when truck drivers call in.
Oh, because was he a truck driver?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it's definitely something that would exist in a libertarian paradise, you know, whereas politicians wouldn't. And we were talking in the first hour about the movie Cocaine Cowboys, which is a documentary about the influx of cocaine in the 70s, or is it the 80s?
Late 70s, all 80s.
Yeah, in Miami, that turned a pleasant retirement community into a militarized drug zone. And you were telling me, give me the synopsis of the synopsis of the movie again from your synopsis.
It was mainly about the influx of cocaine. First, it was just being dealt, and it was pretty peaceful. And then Castro sent in boats upon boats of criminals from the prisons, a troll, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah,
and
then Carter. I feel like yelling Carter, like con. What did Carter think he was getting, and what did he get?
Well, he thought that he was doing humanitarian work, like sort of what the Democrats are thinking right now with the border situation, I guess. Only there are probably not going to be as many criminals coming in, but
It'll be baby criminals.
Well, no, I don't think they're criminals.
Well, there's probably a few baby criminals in there.
Maybe they might grow up to be criminals. Who knows? But
let them get indoctrinated.
Yeah, if they go to public school in America, they'll probably turn into criminals. At least,
bingo.
You know, if they're not holding a gun to someone's head, they'll be voting to have the government hold a gun to someone's head.
Yeah, they'll be working for like Border Patrol or something.
Here's my theory of why they're importing those kids. Other than, to use as political footballs, I think it's because so many people hate the government right now. They have to import some fresh people that will like the government.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
That would not surprise me.
Going to that, I mean, I'm not in favor of all these small children coming here without their parents. That's really sad. The foster situation in this country is pretty terrible already, so.
Oh, I don't even want to get into that whole conundrum. It's a big political move, and I basically feel like America doesn't have an immigration problem. It has a welfare problem. And if you removed all of the welfare from food stamps up to, you know, GE and the military industrial complex and everything in between, like, you know, farm subsidies, I'd be fine with opening the borders. Because if that happened, the only people that would be here and you know, basically making it legal to carry a gun anywhere for honest people, you know, basically then the only people who would come in would be people that want to work for a living, and a bunch of people that don't want to work for a living, including people born in America, would probably leave, and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, and Mexico is messed up because of the United States government and the demand for drugs anyway. And, you know, so
we're talking here on this roundtable like America, but we have a Canadian here. Do you want to jump in here, Mark?
Oh, yeah, it's a good point about immigration. There was up to about 100 years ago, there was no such thing as a passport, or roughly that period of time. If you wanted to go from A to B, you just simply went. They called it moving.
Yep.
And, of course, when you got to the other end, it was up to you to get a job or start your little grocery store or something like that, and instead of getting welfare, as Michael says.
Yeah, or, or join the government like a lot of people did. A lot of, you know, my people, the Irish, my people, a lot of Irish. There's a joke on 30 Rock, Jack Donaghy, played by Alec Baldwin, who is the actor and the character are Irish American. And he says, my ancestors moved to America and built and then filled our prisons. Yeah, so we got off on a tangent there. We're talking about let's go back to the war on drugs. So you saw this documentary, Nikki, and you basically, you know, it's kind of funny because I can tell you just saw a documentary that had a little bit of a statist bent, because you were summarizing it in terms that they wanted you to perceive from it. Like, and the police didn't have the weaponry to deal with this. And, you know, they were outgunned and all of a sudden they had to get guns, which is, you know, as well as I do, that the problem is that it's illegal to begin with. And that's why it encourages violent activity.
Well, that, and also these cartels, the way they're structured, it's all about territory and hierarchy. And these people will kill each other over just like the sleight of hand. Like, it's ridiculous. And so they're like heads in the street in Dade County. I mean, I just would like to know, in libertarian paradise, would that end if drugs were made legal? Because I'd like to think so. And I have no problem with drug dealing as long as no harm is done to anyone else. So what would happen? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I do. I think that in a libertarian paradise where, you know, you could buy horrible poisons like coke, heroin, and speed in the Walmart, hopefully not in the same section as the powdered sugar to avoid confusion, as someone once said, the drug cartels would not exist, because they wouldn't have the economic incentive to do it. Because when there is a drug cartel or, you know, violent drug dealing, basically they're not selling the drug, they're selling the risk involved in the drug. And if the, you know, somebody did the math one time that if drugs were legal, all drugs would cost 7 cents a dose. And if drugs cost the same amount as, you know, sugar, or let's say something a little more expensive than sugar, you know, oregano, or, you know, some spice like clove, people wouldn't shoot each other over them. Now, you know, I think that in libertarian paradise also, probably people who don't want to be around drug users would probably develop enclaves where they'd have private property and you wouldn't be allowed to do drugs there. I think there would still be drug testing, absolutely, in private industry. Like, I don't think any trucking company would want truckers high driving trucks. I don't think anybody would want someone working in a risky, risky job, like, you know, running an oil derrick or being a wildcatter on drugs. I don't think you'd want your surgeon doing drugs. I also think that there would be, you know, kind of systems like Angie's List in the, to rate the performance of agencies. Like, you'd say, well, these people are really cheap and they're not always on time and they're on drugs, but they're cheaper than the people that drug test. So, you know, there would be the option for truckers driving on private roads that did allow drug use. And I also think that, you know, doing things like being a bartender or being a musician, it'd be no problem to be on drugs, you know, things where you're not, no one's going to die if you do it wrong. I do believe a lot of the people that are working for drug cartels now, if drugs were legal, would probably be picking bananas for a living. But I think that the people running drug cartels, the ultra-violent, the ones who are willing to do anything, you know, if drugs were legalized tomorrow and there was still a government, they'd probably all go into government. They would probably, you know, because that's the next best job to being in a drug cartel, would be working for a government, because you can direct people to steal at your whim. But I think in the absence of a government, a lot of those people, I don't think it'd be very easy to get away with crime in LibPair, because everyone would be armed. There would be, you know, four higher civilian defense organizations that would have the same weaponry. I was going to say that the cartels have right now, but I probably just would say what the local police have right now, which is fully militarized everything. And they would have a profit incentive to protect you, and they would have a profit incentive to get back stolen goods or to keep people from having fraud or aggression or theft put upon them. And I don't think it'd be that big of an issue. And I think that, I basically think that the people who want to kill for a living would all end up murdered and taken out of the gene pool.
Good.
We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting from a satellite high above Burnsville, Minnesota, which is where Genesis Communications Network is located. And interestingly, it's also where my microphone is made. That's where the Electrovoice company is. And if I lived there, I would tour the factory. I would really like to tour that factory. But we're not. I'm in Wyoming. Nikki's in the shadow of Washington, D.C., cowering from its scariness and its stench. And Mark is up there in Canada. And we're talking about drug prohibition and why it's wrong. I don't take drugs, but I am adamantly in favor of not just decriminalization, but legalizing everything to the point where, you know, heroin is available in vending machines as long as the vending machines are not taxed and are privately owned and operated. So, Mark, you were talking a little bit about prohibition of alcohol, which is a good template for, you know, what's wrong with prohibition of drugs and what happened in America with prohibition of alcohol.
Well, immediately. Well, obviously, alcohol just completely vanished because it was illegal, right? Yeah, good luck with that. What ended up happening is the price of any kind of alcohol just started going up and up and up. And not only that, but the strength of it. They would distill it a lot stronger. And a lot of times people would switch from beer to much harder liquors because beer was harder to come by because it's not so concentrated. And I remember hearing a Stefan Molyneux cast covering this. And as soon as the prohibition ended, wham, all of a sudden everything went right back almost overnight. Beer went back to normal price and normal strength, and so did the other harder stuff. It wasn't quite so hard anymore. And there'd also be various industrial alcohols that people would try and distill and get the various toxins out of, which could be done, but it was difficult. And if you didn't, well, maybe you had a bad dose. Maybe it made you blind. Maybe it made you dead. Just slight little problems like this. So,
well, the U.S. government, the U.S. government was also actively poisoning alcohol mm-hmm. during prohibition. They were denaturing it. You know, they denatured ethyl alcohol. If it was used for, industrial solvents or something, they'd add some methyl alcohol in it so it would poison you if you drank it. But they were also, in some instances, sneaking poisons, including strychnine, into bootleg. You know, they'd bust a bootlegger, arrest him, throw him in jail, and instead of dumping out his liquor, they'd put some strychnine in each batch, in each bottle, and then let it back out on the market to punish people. And that's what governments do. They denature nature. Yeah.
Isn't that so kind of them?
That is, if you want a picture of governments, that's what they do. And Canada did not outlaw alcohol, so there was a lot of trade going over those Great Lakes up to the border to Canada to buy the legal alcohol to sell in America.
Yes, not exactly legal trade, one might say, in Canada, Mexico, Cuba, all over the Caribbean, basically anywhere even close to America. A lot of people made a lot of money, something that was illegal, and they just could not make it go away.
Yeah, and the thing that governments never, I guess they realize it, but they never admit it, is there's no such thing as a completely unporous border. And, you know, the war on drugs has been going on since Prohibition, because right after Prohibition, right after alcohol was re-legalized, was when they outlawed marijuana. And part of the reason was because the control freaks that loved the power that they got from outlawing things wanted to keep that power, and they used racist means to outlaw marijuana. They made up lies about it. And you know, here's the thing. You can't be a small government person and be in favor of the war on drugs. And a lot of people are, and it doesn't make any sense, because pretty much the vast expansion of the U.S. federal government got a big shot in the arm and really took off with alcohol prohibition, and then with the ensuing war on marijuana, and then in the 70s, Nixon coined the phrase the war on drugs, which basically means the war on people who use drugs. And anytime something's illegal, there's always going to be a market for it. People actually have more of an incentive to provide it if it's illegal, and to make it stronger and more powerful and more smuggleable. And I heard the other day, here's an interesting truck statistic, Mark, that you'll be interested in. All of the drugs, the massive amounts of drugs that are smuggled each year from Mexico into America, you know, all the coke, all the speed, all of the pot would fit in 60 commercial 18-wheelers. How many 18-wheelers come from Mexico into America every year? 5.5 million. So good luck finding 60 trucks worth of drugs in 5.5 million trucks. Can't be done.
Talk about a needle in a haystack.
Yep. But I guess the people who like to step on other people for a living, they'll always have work, because they can't win the war on drugs. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Meow, meow.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, broadcasting live and worldwide from a kind of bunker it is. So we're going to use a picture of Mark's anarcho pup, Sophie. Really cute dog. Weird mutt mixture of, bulldog and poodle. Is that it?
My best guess is Boston Terrier and pug. That's what the vet thinks. He kind of looks like a Boston Terrier to me, but not quite. Okay. So that mixed with who knows what. I really don't know, and I don't care.
Yep. Nikki has dogs. Doges. And
big doges.
All the rest of the Freedom Fiends, I think, have cats. And our friend Nick Hazelton has yaks. Yaks are the new cats. That's what I heard. So we're talking about drugs and why they're illegal. And they're basically illegal because government likes to make things illegal that they can't control to try to control them for our own good. I will say this. I was a heroin addict for about 6 or 7 years, and I have been clean and sober for 20 years just this month, July 7th. And
bravo.
Part of my path to liberty was in 2006. I started listening to Free Talk Live. And I went on the Free State Project forum and started talking with people. And I asked some questions that now if someone asked them of me in my head, I'd be like, you silly statist. But I would probably be kind and try to answer the questions, because people did that with me and it helped bring me to liberty. And I went back and found that thread a couple years ago or recently from 2006 and read it. I don't recognize any of the people's names who answered the question. I don't think they're around anymore, or maybe they have different names. I don't know. But basically, you know, I started a thread on there of like, you know, something like, I kind of like these ideas of liberty, and I think drugs should be, you know, marijuana should be decriminalized, but I can't imagine legalizing coke, heroin, and speed, because I have seen firsthand the destructiveness of them. And without them, you know, without the laws, there'd be drug cartels killing people. And someone said, well, with the laws, drug cartels are killing people. And they explained how the illegality causes the violence, and how, yes, drugs can be harmful, but the war on drugs does a lot more damage. Here's another thing. Not only if you're a conservative should you be against the war on drugs, because first of all, it takes a lot of money. I mean, if you, any conservative, any Bill O'Reilly fan that's listening that says, yes, we need to outlaw those drugs, would you still feel that way if they sent you a bill every year for your share of the war on drugs instead of spreading it out through devaluing the dollar and through charging your grandchildren for it? If you had to actually pay your share of it every year, I really doubt you'd do that. And secondly, if you are a gun person, you should be against the war on drugs, because the war on drugs amplifies and leads to the war on guns. You know, the only reason they can pull you over and look in your car, or ask to look in your car, or think they can look in your car, is because of the war on drugs. You know, there was a time when people had rights in America and in other parts of the world, and they have less and less and less. And it's because square people say, oh, the politicians should have more tax money to pay for more police to outlaw them drugs. They can't outlaw them drugs. They can throw maybe 1 in 100 people in prison. Not even that, probably. I mean, think about, you know, there's a lot of people in jail for drugs, but something like over 50% of Americans, you know, have used drugs at some point in their life. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, some very powerful visionary people like have used drugs and even said it was an important part of their journey. You know, Steve Jobs, who without Steve Jobs, it's unlikely we'd be talking on this radio show, because it's unlikely that computers would have gotten cheap like they and powerful like they have. You know, he said that taking LSD was the second most important thing he ever did in his life. And I'm not making a case for drugs. I'm just making a case. I don't do drugs. I don't want to be around anyone that does drugs. I'm just making a case for, there's no logical reason that a liberty-loving person should think that drugs should be illegal. Because really, it ends up taking away your freedoms even if you don't do drugs. It militarizes the police. It takes your money. It devalues your money over a period of time. It takes more for your property taxes. And it just leads to things like cops thinking they have a reason to pull you over and treat you like a criminal and search you. And it also totally amplifies the idea in society that things should be illegal rather than actions. And there's a really thin line between thinking that a substance or a plant should be illegal when there's no victim other than maybe the person taking it, and thinking your gun should be illegal if it has certain features. The war on drugs, the idea that something should be illegal, leads to police and the government and the politicians and the stupid voters believing that they should be able to control your guns. It's the same thing, people.
Yeah, I believe in Colorado, if you are a registered gun owner, you're not allowed to buy at the dispensaries.
Yeah, and if you are, if you're dying of cancer, or if one of your loved ones has cancer and is in extreme pain, sometimes medical marijuana is the only thing that'll help you.
Yep.
And if you are a licensed, you know, if you get your registration card to be legally allowed to have marijuana for your cancer, you cannot legally own a gun for your self-defense. And it's even questionable whether, you know, your spouse can have a gun in the house. And it, to the point where, like, maybe you can do it, but you have to keep your gun in a safe so your cancer victim wife can't, you know, can't get access to it, because the marijuana might make her crazy and go on a shooting spree, which doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Does not happen.
Never heard of that happening.
Reminds me of stuff they tried to drill into my head back in high school with the anti-drug thing. Oh my God, you take one puff of marijuana and you'll kill your grandmother and set your house on fire and blah, blah, blah. And then I remember being at a house party and I saw a couple of guys smoking up. And, you know, my first reaction, I was still a little bit status tense, like, oh, geez, I was a little bit anxious. But then I saw, it's like, did they come and attack me? No, they attacked that pizza and the bag of Cheetos with gusto. But otherwise, they sat on the couch, watched cartoons, and went, huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Beavis and Butthead before anybody had ever heard of them.
Yeah.
And so right there, I thought, you know what? You people have obviously been feeding me a big line here. I figured, okay, drugs are bad, okay.
Well,
but not nearly as bad as they claimed.
Here's the thing. I'm in favor of all drugs being legalized tomorrow. But every day that drugs are still illegal turns more people against the government, because – you know, it's getting to the point where everybody has either been in jail for pot or has, you know, a brother or sister or son or daughter or parent who has. And that just shows, you know, in a personal firsthand way, how unethical the government is, because you've been fed these lies your whole life of, oh, it'll make you crazy. Or, you know, now they kind of soften it a bit too. Well, it's dangerous. You know, they don't really qualify it. They can't really give case studies, but they know that they can't get away with the one puff will make you kill your grandma, but they can still get away with, you know, it's not good and we need to keep it under control. And if you've ever been to a party where, you know, Beavis and Butthead are over in the corner smoking a joint, and you see that they don't do anything harmful, all they do is, you know, laugh at stupid jokes, eat too much, and play some video games and fall asleep, you see firsthand it's far less dangerous than alcohol. You start to wonder what else the government's lying to you about. You know, it basically proves to you that the government is lying about, you know, when you start examining it, they're lying about pretty much everything.
Yeah, well, Chris Rock said, he said in one of his stand-up routines, he says, the government wants you off of their drugs and on their drugs, like pharmaceuticals.
Off, yeah, they want you off this drug and on that drug. And, you know, the really mind-blowing one to me is like Ritalin and the speed-type drugs that the pharmaceutical you know, agents, pushers are pushing now, to the point where, like, literally, I mean, they're giving little kids speed, just straight up, you know, benzedrine, methamphetamine, amphetamine, things that are chemically almost identical to crank, and pushing, like making kids take them, like you know, you're going to have to go, you're disruptive in school. You know, the psychiatrist will tell the parents, we really want to give your kid this drug, and they'll be more manageable and more successful if they do it. Or even to the point where, like, they will force it. They won't just strongly suggest it sometimes. And they're literally making kids take the same drugs that they're, you know, stealing tax money to pay for billboards saying, you know, if you buy these without a prescription, they'll kill you and make you kill your whole family and, you know, sell your little sister for in a truck stop bathroom.
I am so glad I was born in the time that I was in public school. Well, public school and I did not exactly get along. And if I was a kid in school now, I would be that one wired up on Ritalin and with all this stuff pumped in me, whether I want it or not. I'm old enough that I missed all that stuff. And, oh, I'm so glad for that.
Yeah, me too. How old are you?
I'm 45, born in 68.
Yeah, I'm 50. I think if I was 45, I probably would have gotten drugged with it. I think the U.S. was a little ahead of Canada in doing that.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah, it sort of came in a little bit behind me. Kids in grades, a few grades behind me, were starting to get that stuff.
Yeah, I was a few years too early to be drugged for being creative and energetic, and I was a couple years too late for my mother to have taken that morning sickness drugs that made kids be born with flippers. Do you remember that?
Thalidomide, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, which was an FDA-approved drug. Keep that in mind, too. You know, if you believe the government is out to protect you, and without the government, there'd be chaos and murder and everyone would die from poisoned food. Yeah, that was an FDA-approved drug for about 9 months and 1 week, you know, basically until kids started being born with that, with horrible birth deformities.
It wasn't tetracycline another. That's been screwing up people's teeth for a long time.
Yeah, I took tetracycline as a little kid for a lung infection, and it's still an FDA approved drug, but it's no longer approved for little kids because they immediately discovered that it discolors your teeth in your head. Like, you know, your baby teeth will be fine, and then your adult teeth grow in and they're discolored. My teeth are almost black. I mean, if I don't even smile with my mouth open. I've trained myself not to. And you know, there's no recourse for me. I can't go back. It wasn't that bad when I was younger. They were slightly yellowed, and I just thought it was from smoking cigarettes. And I quit that, and, you know, my teeth just got darker and darker. They look like metal.
Wow.
You ever seen my teeth? You've hung out with me. You haven't seen them, have you?
I caught a peek.
Yeah. I've had a cop think I was a meth user because I have discolored teeth, because he's seen pictures the government gave him.
On billboards.
Yeah, I was never really a meth user, so, yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Earthlings. This brings us to the final segment of the Freedom Fiends, and we're going to talk a little bit about puppies, because we need a unicorn chaser, and a unicorn chaser is when you hear or see something horrific, you know, like a war documentary or something, you know, you need something light afterwards, and you want to go find, you know, a picture of a unicorn or, you know, something fun. So I think after talking about the war on drugs, we need to talk about puppies and how wonderful they are. And I think I'm going to call this episode, I'm going to use this picture of Mark's dog, and I'm going to use, he looks really playful. I'm going to use some title, something like, if your dog is not a drug dog, we thank him for his service. So go ahead and talk about your puppies, guys.
Oh, all right. Sophie, the anarcho canine I call her. Very odd mix of Boston Terrier and Pug. I'm just kind of guessing on that. I don't know for sure. And people always ask me that question. Well, what is she? It's like, well, she's my dog. What do I care beyond that? What do I need a label for? A little sweetheart, good company in the truck. Great cure for road rage. I mean, how mad could I possibly get with that cute little face staring at me?
When I used to work for the SPCA, volunteering in San Francisco, socializing, which is not meaning, that doesn't mean making them communists, socializing kittens, you know, they would give me kittens, I'd pet them and make them likable and adoptable and bring them back and get new kittens. My girlfriend at the time, she was from Switzerland, and she had a delightful accent. When I'd be in a bad mood, she'd say, "How can you be upset when you have baby cats?"
It's true. Yeah. They're so sweet.
Yep.
Oh, as we speak, Sophie's curled up beside me, and I'm rubbing her belly with one hand, holding the mic with the other.
Aww.
Very relaxing.
Does she snore at all?
Very little.
Oh, okay. Mine are like the champions of snoring and farting in their sleep.
my older cat, Charlie, who's 16 and quite overweight, but still really agile. I mean, she can run when it's dinner time. She can run really, really fast.
Don't we all?
Yeah, she's getting to the point where she snores. She purrs really loudly and always has, but she snores so much that, you know, if she's sleeping in my room on a chair, I used to have her sleep at the foot of the bed all the time, and the purring helped me fall asleep, but now it's kind of become purr snoring now that she's older and overweight, and sometimes in the middle of the night, I have to pick her up and take her in the living room and put her on the couch so I can, she'll wake me up. Yeah.
Yeah. Louis will be sleeping next to me and he'll start dreaming and barking with his mouth closed and then start kicking me. And it's really annoying because he's a 100-pound dog and it's a queen size bed. And like, I literally will have to, I'll yell, "Louis, stop it." And then he'll stop. But it was funny during Free Talk Live, I think it was like last week, Ian's dog was in the studio and was doing the same thing during the show. I was like, I know how you feel, man. Totally.
Yeah, he just got that dog back. I think that belonged to an old girlfriend and she brought it to Porkfest to give back to him.
Yeah, Jazzy. She's so sweet. Yeah. I love old dogs.
The other day, my wife told me I was laughing out loud in my sleep. And I woke up and she said, "You were laughing in your sleep." And I was like, "Yeah, it was probably," I can't even say what I said to her, but she thought it was pretty funny. I'll tell you guys later.
You were dreaming about the government.
No, I said I was laughing,
not screaming.
I said I was laughing about the people I was having sex with in my dream.
Oh, okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah. We have an interest. I can say that's my wife. She thinks it's funny. Yep. So anyway, puppies.
My dog is the official state dog of Louisiana.
Your particular dog or your breed of dog?
Yeah, the breed of dog.
Your dog was coronated by the governor of Louisiana.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. Well, not really, but state dog Louisiana. I named him Louie after Louis Armstrong, but my dad likes to call him King Louie because he's very stubborn and kind of bossy. And his other nickname is Lucifer or El Diablo Blanco.
How old are your dogs?
6 and 13.
And Mark?
A little over 5.
Excellent. It's been a wonderful show, guys. Despite some technical difficulties. I think for a while, Mark just, you know, he had his allotted daily socialist Canadian allotment of internets and then had to take a time out and came back and it was fine.
Yep.
We thought you got taken away for being impolite. That's a crime in Canada, I believe.
Oh, some days I wonder.
Excellent. Well, we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends tomorrow night, as usual. And you can go to freedomfiends.com.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.